Hello and welcome back to the Totally Adequate Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Dieters, and today I have a very special guest in the studio with us. It is Eliza Hoffman. Eliza is the VP of Regional Payers for Quest Analytics, and she has spent over 10 years in the healthcare provider network management space. She has been working with health plans, dental, vision, behavioral health, any type that you can think of, Eliza has worked with them. She also has worked with the state regulators that Quest Analytics has a partnership with. I'm super excited to be talking with her about the changes that she has seen over the last 10 years, to hear what are people talking about these days, and to find out what are they excited, and more importantly, what is Eliza excited about as we head into the future. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Totally Adequate Podcast, where we bring you the latest news and conversations from the world of healthcare, network adequacy, and provider data accuracy. I'm your host, Kate Dieters.
The Totally Adequate Podcast is brought to you by Quest Analytics. Quest Analytics helps provider networks gain astonishing efficiencies, provides dependable data insights, and helps you easily meet regulatory requirements. Visit questanalytics.com for more information.
Eliza, thank you so much for joining us today. We're excited to have you. Love to, again, just kind of talk to you a little bit about how the industry has been changing over the last couple of years, what you have seen, and get your thoughts and also any advice that you have for anyone out there. But to start, want to give everyone a little bit of background on you. So if you don't mind just giving our viewers a little background on yourself and your experience within this industry.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kate. So I am currently the Vice President of Regional Payers at Quest Analytics. So I work with the business development team here, and we work to ensure that, you know, all of our clients really have the solutions that they need in-house to be able to do, you know, everything from, you know, effectively manage their networks to improving the accuracy of their provider directories. So I started with Quest. Oh my gosh, I think I'm coming up on 10 years, 10 or 11 years. I have lost count. But yeah, started out in a support role. So learning about the product and how to support the product. And that's really where I got to learn so much from our clients and, you know, get an understanding of their pain points in the industry, and really where I, you know, kind of fell in love with this industry.
What was day one like for you compared to what it is today?
I think it's just evolved so much. You know, back when I started, it was really all about like network adequacy. You know, do we have an adequate network? And, you know, being able to meet, you know, those minimum requirements. And now we've seen such a shift in, you know, going above and beyond that, you know, not only having like a marketable network, but working to ensure that, you know, that network is high performing, that, you know, the practitioners in your network are, you know, are clinically active, are practicing, accepting new patients. So, you know, I'd say when I started, it really was about, you know, just basic access to care and network adequacy. And it's just been a really wild ride to see it evolve to, okay, how does, you know, provider data accuracy impact all of that? How does, you know, practitioner quality impact, you know, network design? So it's been really exciting to watch that unfold.
Yes. And even like you're saying, network adequacy, making sure that plans have the sufficient number of providers, facilities that they need based off of time and distance. And in this last 2 years, with everything changing, I feel like we had more changes in the last 2 years than we have in like 10 years put together in terms of how health policymakers, regulators, federal government are looking at what really is that definition of network adequacy, but then also plans are looking at it differently. You know, you're talking about bringing into bring in telehealth, and now that's part of a lot of different requirements these days. What do you think about all of the different changes, and you're able to step back from kind of, again, or if you're like me, you get so sometimes focused in on what are the technical components? What are those details? What are those things that we need to know or to make sure that we are abiding by to stay either compliant or, like you said, build these high performance networks? But when you're able to step back and you look at how the industry has really started to change in terms of healthcare, what does healthcare delivery mean? What does access to care mean? Is there anything that sort of stands out to you as like one of those aha moments or one of those moments where you're like, hey, this is a lot of change and this is really cool that it's changing this way?
Okay, that's a great question. I think in terms of, to your point in access to care and in like, yeah, changing and aha moments, I think probably around, you know, like 2015, 2016 timeframe. Well, maybe even before then, but like when I first started with Quest, I said earlier, I started in like a support role. So, you know, talking with our clients, you know, being in the trenches and really getting an understanding of their pain points, and what they're dealing with in the industry. And, you know, during that time, you kind of start to learn, right, that there's not a ton of transparency in terms of how the networks are performing inside of a lot of the organizations at that time. You know, so if we're thinking, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of times it was, you know, like the high level executives, who are requesting reports from analysts, and then mm-hmm. analysts who are running those reports, you know, they were really the ones internally that had an understanding of how these networks are performing. So, you know, I think, you know, fast forward, just learning and watching and seeing where the industry needed much more transparency, a heightened awareness, you know, more actionable insight in terms of like how the network is performing and, you know, how to strategize, you know, what where to go, after you're consuming all of that information. So I think, you know, just sort of the aha moments is, kind of when I saw a day that we could really deliver a lot of transparency or, you know, just more heightened awareness on how these networks are performing to our clients, to the industry.
That it is. It's amazing. And it's exciting. So you think about the growth, the different components, everything that's really coming together. And so on that, as we start to look ahead in the future, as everyone's always wondering what's new, what's next, what's coming. And you have a great seat at that table. Is there anything that you're hearing in those conversations or you're helping our clients build towards that really excites you?
There's so much that's exciting, right? That we're, you know, a lot of trends going on that are exciting out there. I think, you know, one of the things that has probably most excited me over the last couple of years is really more, you know, paying more attention to mental health awareness and watching, you know, kind of what's, you know, unfolding inside of telehealth as well. When we think about, mental health, that touches, you know, one in three, you know, adults out there deal with, you know, a mental health disorder. So when you think about how that, you know, basically impacts, you know, in one way or another, you know, basically impacts everyone out there, it's just really exciting to see, you know, all of the different things, whether it's, you know, the regulators, you know, taking, you know, a deeper dive into that and networks really reevaluating or carriers, you know, reevaluating like their network design for behavioral health. I think that's just really exciting to see that.
That is. And what are you seeing from your side of how carriers are looking to really address some of that? Are they looking to partner more with whether it be providers or specific behavioral health, mental health types of organizations? Or is there anything that you're seeing that is really saying we want to address this? This is how we're addressing it.
That's a good question, Kate. I think beefing up their networks needing to ensure that you have enough coverage or practitioners as you do, general surgery. So, I think that has been interesting to see and watch how carriers are, responding to that. Definitely seeing where, everyone's, kind of paused and, taken a beat to kind of assess that situation and say, okay, what tools do we need in-house or what process and procedure do we need to develop in order to, ensure that we're on the right track here?
Well, it's great to hear that they really are trying to address it. Like I said, it's a huge problem and it does affect so many. So it's always wonderful to hear about how they're following through with what they're saying that they want to do. And we'll look forward to having more of your insight as we go forward with that. As I said, I think a lot of, whether it be mental health or telehealth or the different data components that they're trying to look at to really make sure that they're addressing access to care will become, they'll probably be getting some creativity through there and it'll be exciting to watch. There's a lot, right?
So much.
I'd love to get a little bit of your insight in terms of what are some common questions that you get or what are you hearing from them right now?
Probably one of the biggest common themes that I see across each of those, types of conversations is, how do we optimize our network? How do we right size our network? How do we ensure that our provider mix is representative of our members? And so, being able to, kind of dive into the unique, I would say, pain points that each organization, experiences, and kind of talk through how you can look at different data points to help with that, right? So, for those that are in the trenches, they know, it's more than just looking at network adequacy, right? It's looking at, not only, will this practitioner have an impact on network adequacy, but what are their, what are their quality scores? What are their, what type of provider claim activity, do we see? Are they clinically active? Are they accepting new patients? Diversity inside of the provider makeup. So I think, ultimately, that's really been kind of the key trend is, optimizing networks and then really working to ensure that, the provider makeup reflects that of the membership.
And it sounds like they're looking for more information so that they're able to ensure that they are really meeting the needs both of their members and then probably some prospect members. They're always looking to grow. The changes that you just mentioned, are you seeing that pretty much across the nation, or are you feeling that there's one section of the country or the coast that are really focusing on different aspects, or does it seem like it's pretty much across the board?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kate, because definitely, there are certain, business challenges out there that we will see, inside of, one segment or one region of the U.S. But to answer your question, this one is definitely, we're seeing it across, across the nation and across segments. Everyone is really looking to, kind of hone in on that.
There's a lot to keep track of. And Eliza, you have always been someone who I think is just like on the top of your game for understanding what is going on from the industry, from clients, from happening with regulations. Where are some of the places that you go to just be that student of the industry?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kate. There's so many, right? Like there's so many, but some of my favorites are I really like modern healthcare, fierce healthcare, I believe it is. And then healthcare payer news. I don't know if I said that one. I do a lot of Google alerts and setting those up to kind of learn, about, what's going on inside of the industry as well. LinkedIn is always a great source for, some of that industry news. And then we do this really awesome thing inside of our organization where, people each week are reading some of those articles, right? Like I might not have, seen something that you did with one of your, favorite outlets. And then, you kind of send it in and Sarah Toper puts all of that information together and then each week sends out this newsletter. And it's really the best compilation of everything that's going on in the industry. I feel like each week it's probably 5 pages and super comprehensive. And then from there, we're able to distill that down. You and your team do an awesome job, right? Of distilling that down and getting that into the blogs and the different materials and resources that we have on our website. So it's a cylinder, it's a carousel up and down and around, right?
It is. It's great. And if you could walk someone through what you mean by Google alert in case they're not familiar with how you do that.
Oh my gosh. I set them up so long ago, Kate. So I don't even know if I remember how now, but it's inside of your profile settings. And I set them up when I was, years ago, when I first was okay, I need to start learning and becoming a student of the industry.
All those acronyms, right?
Right. Exactly. but inside of your settings, you can set up something that says, if there's news or information that breaks on network adequacy or, provider directories, your organization. So if you're the plan, you probably know that information already, but maybe, you're learning something with the rest of the world, all at the same time. But, I really like, entering any of those keywords so that, when new, regulation comes out, it's being directed to my inbox and I can see it right away.
That is great. So I hope anyone who hasn't been using Google Alerts, heard it here first from Eliza. So you can take that tip away.
Don't reach out to me for support on how to do it because I am clearly not capable of recalling that. But it is a really, really valuable tool.
So that's amazing. I remember you telling me that tip when I first started, and it's been hugely beneficial. So I hope anyone who is not doing it starts doing it because then it's just right there for you and makes any type of that trying to find out what's the latest and greatest pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was that's really the best guidance that I have ever received, in my career. And I'm lucky because I received it really early from, I was fresh out of college and started buying and, I remember, our general merchandising manager, sitting down with all of us and talking about how it's so important to, you really can't be a master of, your craft or your trade without understanding and being a student of the business. And so, yeah, that's always stuck with me. And I mean, what better field, right? There's so much changing all the time. It's hard to keep up with. So, that helps.
Yes, I agree. I feel like there's something new every week, if not daily. And great. Sometimes I'm like, okay, we could pump the brakes for 5 seconds.
Right. Right.
While the rest of us wrap our heads around this. But great. Good. Keep coming. And with that, Liza, you have been, as you continue to be a leader, what are some things that stand out to you as what makes a good leader?
To me, I think, really what's important or what makes a great leader is empathy, first and foremost. And, when you understand others, right? Whether it's, internally or externally, that's what's really going to allow you to create those win-win situations. So I think first and foremost, empathy, and then from there, accountability. So, just being accountable to, yourself, to your, those that are on your team members, and then those, obviously, your clients. Those are the most important people. But ultimately, when you have that accountability, that's when, you can, really deliver a higher level of product, better position them for success and performance. So I would definitely say those are two of my kind of, core pillars to my leadership strategy. I try to, kind of exude empathy and accountability. And that's definitely what I enjoy most about my leadership as well.
Have you felt like those have changed over the years? Or
I don't feel like those have changed. That is definitely like I was raised that way. That's really like ingrained in like the fiber of who I am. But I think my outlook on them is really what has changed, right? I think there was probably a point in time where I looked at, empathy as, could potentially like be a weakness or, more of just like a soft skill and that one that, people probably kind of scoff off or scoff at. Kind of the same thing with accountability, right? It's like a balance between, being empathetic. And then at the same time, we've got good work to do, right? So holding ourselves accountable, and recognizing that like, it's okay to assert yourself. So, I think those have always been there in me. My outlook on them has just, changed as I've grown. Definitely thankful for having those experiences.
Thank you very much for sharing those with us.
Yeah.
They're super important.
My pleasure.
Well, I know that we only have a couple more minutes. So Eliza, if someone wanted to get in contact with you, where would be the best place for them to reach you?
A good question, Kate. So definitely on LinkedIn is always a great place. On Quest Analytics website. I've got all of my information there as well as like my LinkedIn handle. And then, my email and, phone number as well. So pretty easy to get a hold of.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. Definitely going to have you back, but thank you again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
The Totally Adequate Podcast is brought to you by Quest Analytics. Move faster, build smarter. Want to expand into new counties, launch new products, grow your network of providers? Let us show you how Quest Enterprise Services helps you pinpoint the right opportunities for your business goals in just a few clicks of a button. Visit questanalytics.com for more information.